Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Jaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jayo Mudirayet. Nasa Praeshu Apadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavachutama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer our obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regular attendance and classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is practically destroyed, and thus loving service to the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental song, is established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna. Today is the holy appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev. And I picked out a verse and some prayers I'd like to recite to the devotees, and maybe a couple of those dramatic Nrisimhadev incidents that devotees experience in their life. I'm sure we've all had some moment when we thought, oh, Lord Nrisimhadev saved me. How many people have had that experience? So that's always nice to talk about on Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance day. I picked out a verse, but I really don't know the meter, so we decided not to put it up on the board. Maybe Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu knows this one. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Jastejas Avir Bhava. You know that one? It's prose, eh? So not easy to recite it, get everyone to repeat. It's a really beautiful verse. Did you know it? Do you want to chant it? Or? Okay, I'll just chant it. I don't know. I know I'm not doing it right, but pray to Lord Nrisimhadev, that he doesn't take any offense. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Jastejase Avir Bhava Vajra Naka Vajra Dhangsta Kamashayan Randhaya Randhaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Huishta Om Shum. Purnachaprabhu likes to chant this before his class. Beautiful prayer by Prahlad Maharaj. It's in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, the prayers of the inhabitants of Jambudvip to the Lord. They all pray to their worshipable deity. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruit of activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Would you like to repeat it? It's so beautiful. I think it's nice to repeat it. Huh? I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In Srimad Bhagavatam 4:22-39, Sanat Kumar speaks the following words to Maharaj Prithu. Very beautiful verse. Yat pada pankaja palasha vilasa bhaktya karmashayam kratitam udgratayanti santa tadvannarikta matayo yatayo pirudha shuto ganastam aranam vajvasudevam. Devotees always engaged in the service of the toes of the Lord's lotus feet can very easily become free from hard-knotted desires for fruitive activities. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, cannot stop the waves of sense gratification, although they try to do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. Every living being within this material world has a strong desire to enjoy matter to his fullest satisfaction. For this purpose, the conditioned soul must accept one body after another, and thus his strongly fixed fruitive desires continue. One cannot stop the repetition of birth and death without being completely desireless. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami describes pure devotional service as follows. Anyabhilashitam sunyam jnanakarma anavritam anukulvena krishnanu shilinam bhaktir uttamam. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Unless one is completely freed of all material desires which are caused by the dense darkness of ignorance, one cannot fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, we should always offer our prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, who killed Hiranyakashipu, the personification of material desire. Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means a soft cushion or bed. Materialistic persons always desire to make the body comfortable, and for this they require huge amounts of gold. Thus, Hiranyakashipu was the perfect representative of materialistic life. He was therefore the cause of great disturbance to the topmost devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, until Lord Nrisimhadev killed him. Any devotee aspiring to be free of material desires should offer his respectful prayers to Nrisimhadev, as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. Om jnana timirambasya gyananjana salakaya chakshurunmilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha vanchakapa tanubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha Patitanan Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. And pray for the blessings of the Vaishnava, Srila Prabhupada, and especially His Grace Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, that I say something that at least doesn't get in the way of your inspiration today in remembering Lord Nrisimhadev. Now, recently, one devotee asked me, she was expressing some doubts concerning our daily singing of the Nrisimhadev prayers. After each artik, she was wondering did Prabhupada really institute that? Is that really what we should be doing? Of course, Prabhupada says in this purport that we should always pray to Lord Nrisimhadev. So we know that it may be a little too much to expect us to be always busy with praying to Lord Nrisimhadev, because Prabhupada mentioned that our hearts are full of material desire and we're afflicted by ignorance. But at least daily, one or two artics a day, if we can remember to pray to Lord Narsingadev, then that's very nice. So when I was reading that, I sent this text to her. I said, in answer to your question, this is what Prabhupada has to say about praying to Lord Narsingadev. I'll be interested in what she says in reply. Yes, and I was remembering the Lord Narsingadev prayers started to be sung in our movement. Perhaps you remember that early in the early days of ISKCON, Prabhupada, he suffered a heart attack. It was quite a dramatic thing for the devotees. The devotees were used to Prabhupada being robust and playing on his tum-tum drum and heartily eating prasadam and encouraging everyone else to do so, very active. But then one day he got this heart attack, and this is from the Lilamrita. Lord Narsingadev, the half-man, half-lion incarnation of Lord Krishna, had appeared in another age to save his pure devotee, Prahlad, and kill the demon Hiranyakashipu. Prabhupada had asked his disciples to pray to Lord Narsingadev by chanting the special mantra and thinking, "Our master has not finished his work, please protect him." So that's how the prayer got introduced. And Prabhupada was very aware that we were chanting Narsingadev prayers every day, and he was quite happy with it. But in reference to the purport today, Prabhupada cites the verse that Sanat Kumar said to Maharaj Preacher, that devotees can easily overcome the desire for material enjoyment. But it's interesting that in this, in the purport, Prabhupada focuses more on the problems of overcoming material desire, because in that verse it's also mentioned that materialists or jnanis and yogis, they can't overcome these material desires, even though they strive to do so. So Prabhupada mentions that every living being within this material world has a strong desire to enjoy matter to his fullest satisfaction. And then he mentions what is the result of having this material desire. One has to take another body, and then another body, and another body. And because he keeps taking bodies, his fruitive desires become stronger and stronger, and he has no way to come out of these material desires. And, of course, Prabhupada points out that there's a very clear definition of what pure devotional service is. It means no desire for any personal enjoyment and no desire for even subtle enjoyment in the form of mental speculation or yogic tendencies. And then Prabhupada emphasizes we should pray to the Lord who killed Hiranyakashipu, who was the personification of material desires. So Prabhupada elaborated that Hiranya means gold and Kashipu means a soft cushion or bed. And we may think, well, and he said, we need a lot of gold if we want to enjoy large amounts of gold. So we might think, well, I don't need a lot of gold. I don't have lots of material desires. I had an experience with gold one time, because we used to have some gold in the boutique, but it wasn't selling because not too many people around here can afford gold ornaments like solid gold rings and gold. So I was told to, I was serving the boutique at that time, so I was being told to bring this gold back, put in the person's safe. And I was carrying the gold, and it has a feel to it. How many people ever had that experience with gold? There's just something attractive about it. I never experienced that before. Like, it was like heavy and warm, and it felt good. Like there was potential there. And I thought, ooh, that's how it works. So luckily, I don't have a strong desire for big material enjoyment, but I do like my bed. Nice soft bed to go to sleep in. So even if I don't have strong attachments for big material enjoyment, there's definitely a desire for material enjoyment within my heart. And if that doesn't become purified, well, we know the sky's the limit in the material world. You can just keep going and going For instance, Prabhupada gives the example that if you do perform devotional service and you're not completely successful, of course Krishna gives this example and Prabhupada elaborates on it. And he says that you can take birth in a rich family or in a Brahmin's family. And he also said that taking birth in a rich family, which is meant to give you facility to not struggle for material existence, can be dangerous because then you can get distracted. So in this way, Prabhupada was always emphasizing the importance of being very conscious of that in our heart, which is distracting us from our real goal of pure devotional service. And for this purpose, Prabhupada encourages us to pray to Lord Nrisingadev. Any devotee aspiring to be free of material desire should offer his respectful prayers to Nrisingadev, as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. Prabhupada, in another purport in the first canto, chapter 19, text 20, he kind of paraphrased Prahlad Maharaj's prayer, so I'd like to read that to you. Prahlad Maharaj, while praying to Lord Nrisinga, said, "O my Lord, I am very much afraid of the materialistic way of life, and I am not the least afraid of your present ghastly, ferocious feature as Nrisingadev. This materialistic way of life is something like a grinding stone, and we are being crushed by it. We have fallen into this horrible whirlpool of the tossing waves of life, and thus, my Lord, I pray at your lotus feet to call me back to your eternal abode as one of your servitors. This is the summit liberation of this materialistic way of life. I have very bitter experience of the materialistic way of life, in which every species of life I have taken birth, compelled by the force of my own activities, I have very painfully experienced two things, namely separation from my beloved and meeting with what is not wanted. And to counteract them, the remedies which I undertook were more dangerous than the disease itself. So I drift from one point to another, birth after death, and I pray to you, therefore, to give me shelter at your lotus feet." I was remembering one prayer from when I was reading that. I was remembering one particular prayer that I really liked in that series of prayers that Prahlad Maharaj offers. It's a little more expanded. "My dear Lord, you are always transcendentally situated on the other side of the river of death. But because of the reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering, and by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us." So that's the plight of the conditioned soul. That unless he has the privilege of eating prasadam every day, he's forced to eat abominable things. And that's especially true today in Kali Yuga, that even if you're so-called eating vegetarian, etc., you don't know what's in the food, and still you're getting karma because you're not offering it to Krishna. And this just creates more and more bondage for the conditioned soul. And Prahlad Maharaj was very aware of this, and he felt very sorry for the suffering of the conditioned souls, and therefore he prayed to Lord Nrisingadev, "Please deliver me and everyone." So as devotees trying to become free from this tendency towards self-centered enjoyment, we have various experiences when it becomes very evident to us that I'm very conditioned. We're not necessarily always aware of that. Probably we'd have, I know I would at least have a nervous breakdown if I have to think about it all the time. don't have the strength to be confronted constantly. But once in a while we experience that. Sometimes in the Holy Dhamma, I had that experience in Mayapur one time. I went to see Radha Madhava, and I was just noticing that there was like no connection. I felt like a stone. I was thinking, I felt really bad because the deities are so beautiful, and I realized, I have a problem here somewhere. I have no feeling for the Lord and for his most exalted devotees. So then I kind of listlessly drifted over to Lord Nrisingadev, and I remembered this prayer that, "Please destroy the desires for material enjoyment within my heart. Please drive away the ignorance so that I can become fearless for the struggle for existence in the material world. Of course, for a devotee, the real struggle for existence is to feel our relationship with Krishna, to experience that as a living exchange. So if we're, especially if we're in the Holy Dhamma, we don't experience that in front of the Lord. I felt very prayerful, and of course my mood was really anxious and prayerful, and then these two Bengali ladies, they're very observant, little, I think they were widows dressed in white, they came up to me and they were touching my face, and you know how they are, they're very, and I just looked at them and I said, Jeev Krishna Das Avishvash Korle to Ardukanai, I don't know if they understood my Bengali, but, and they were, saying, you know, if we just know that the soul is the eternal servant of Krishna, then all our problems will be solved. And so then, you know, I was thinking like that and praying like that, and then I drifted back over to Radha Madhava, and I wasn't planning anything. I was just kind of drifting back and forth because I felt like I was lost in the ocean of my own miserable ignorance. But when I went back to see Radha and Krishna and the gopis, it was a different experience that I was having. I had this experience. Something changed. I was able to feel a little bhav, which is really something. If you don't feel anything, all of a sudden you feel some connection. I thought, oh yes, that's true. That it's Lord Nrsingadev. That's why Lord Nrsingadev is there for us. He's our friend. He's very ferocious. Of course, we know this. Prabhupada says, Lord Nrsingadev's fierce appearance was certainly most dangerous for the non-devotees, but for Prahlad Maharaj, such a fearful appearance was not at all disturbing. The lion is very fearsome for other animals, but its cubs not at all afraid of the lion. The water of the sea is certainly dreadful for all living entities on the land, but within the sea, even the small fish is unafraid. Why? Because the small fish has taken shelter of the big ocean. It is said that although great elephants are taken away by the flooding waters of the river, the small fish swim opposite the current. Therefore, although the Lord sometimes assumes a fierce appearance to kill the duskritas, or the duskrita desires in the heart, the devotees worship him. Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hari. The devotees always take pleasure in worshipping the Lord and glorifying the Lord in any form, either pleasing or fierce. And of course, devotees have also had other experiences with Lord Nrsingadev. I remember another one. It was, I was in the movement maybe 3-4 years, I can't remember, but we were having a Sunday program in our temple in Vancouver. And after that, we were going to roll out in our vans, like 3 or 4 vans were going on a caravan to go on traveling Sankirtan. But I noticed that one of the boys, and I knew he was going to be the driver of the van, I noticed he was really stocking up with Pushtadam, and I said, Prabhu, you have to be careful because it's late, it's after the Sunday feast, you're the driver, maybe you should... He goes, you know, Mataji, you know. Anyway, after the Sunday feast and everything, the whole caravan was driving on the highway, and our van was behind that van, and of course, within not so long, the van in front of us was rolling. You know, like a roll of toilet paper. That's what I was thinking of when I saw it going. It just reminded me of one in a roll of toilet paper that someone just let loose. It was like, and I thought, oh, and then all of a sudden they disappeared over a ridge, and I thought, oh God. Of course, we all stopped our van, and we didn't. In one sense, you don't want to go there. Shri Gopinath Ki Jai. You think, oh God, what am I going to see there now? Anyway, we got there over the ridge, and the van was upside down, and there's like 3 devotees. Somehow they're dragging themselves up the ridge, little cuts here and there. But even before we reached them, there was a big, in those days we used to have lots of buttons, and there was a big button of Lord Nrsingadev that had obviously flown out of the van. It was really scratched up. So I was thinking, oh, Lord Nrsingadev, he took the brunt of this accident, and he protected his devotees. And I was telling him, you see, Lord Nrsingadev protected you. But these are some of our experiences that we have, that Lord Nrsingadev isn't theoretical, he isn't somebody extra that doesn't have anything to do with our rasika development. He's very essential. He's essential for purifying our hearts and for increasing our faith in the Lord's protection, so that we can advance to a pure devotional service and thus have a genuine experience, continuing experience of our loving relationship with Krishna. So thank you all for listening patiently. And now I'll ask Krishna Chaitanya to please come and share his realizations with us. Pardon me? I thought we had a half hour each, right? Something like that. I think they did my half hour. Thank you very much.
Shri Shri Prahlad Lakshmi Nrisimha Deva Ki Jai. Shri Nrisimha Jai Nrisimha Jai Jai Nrisimha. Prahladesha Jai Padma Mukha Padma Vrindha. Shri Nrisimha Jai Nrisimha Jai Jai Nrisimha. Praladesha Jai Padma Mukha Padma Vrindha. Shri Nrisimha Jai Nrisimha Jai Jai Nrisimha. Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Vrindha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadharine. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauravaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mother Jai Bhadra has spoken very nicely about how Nrisimhadev is very crucial to our lives, our spiritual lives, how Nrisimhadev is essential to our lives, and how some of us may have experienced the protective character of Nrisimhadev. On this subject, I remember, too many years ago, on book distribution, I think it was in Holland, actually. Don't remember which city, but distributing books and offering a book to someone. who proceeded to kick me, physically kick me. Sometimes you meet all kinds of sankirtan. And I mean, I don't know what I said to make him so angry, but anyway, at that time I remembered Nrsingadev, and just very quickly he left, and I just really felt, yes, Nrsingadev. I had the good fortune to worship Lord Nrsingadev in Germany for some years. How many of you have been to Nrsingakshetra or Singachalam? They're, as we speak, having a big festival there. And if you haven't been there, I recommend going to visit someday. Yeah, maybe next year we should all just go there for the festival. A very nice temple and a very nice deity of Prahlad Nrsingha. The deity Nrsingadev weighs 1 ton, literally. He's heavy. And he came very quickly when we had the idea to have Nrsingha there. We sent Ashtaratha Prabhu to India to make arrangements, and exactly 14 months later, the deity arrived on our doorstep. Now, from leaving India, going, finding somebody to help him to go to South India and meet the right people to carve the deity, because it's granite stone, special order deity, and then all of the carving, and then the shipping, and then getting to Germany, and going through customs, and then going to Bavaria, and arriving on our doorstep in 14 months, we were astonished. It was like, what? Nrsingadev arrived. Oh my God. That means he wants to be worshipped. He said, you ordered me, here I am. It took us actually another 2 years to prepare the temple for him. During which time I had more good fortune to be sent to India to find out how to worship Nrsingadev. We visited some temples in South India and met some Nrsingha priests, and we found out some nice things, which maybe another time we could tell about. I always feel on this day of Nrsingadev's appearance is for us especially good to remember Prahlad Maharaj. And we heard these prayers, these wonderful prayers of Prahlad Maharaj to Nrsingadev. The second one of that, I think, really sets the tone for us of what is Prahlad's mood of well-wishing for everyone. Svasyastu vishvasya kala prasidatam dhyayantu bhutani shivam mitodiya. Manascha badram bhajatarat hoksha jaya veshatam no matir apyahituki. That he's well wishing the whole universe, including everyone who's envious. May everyone practice bhakti yoga and in this way become happy and satisfied, and let's all go back home, back to Godhead. It's kind of that's Prahlad's mood, that he's completely non-envious. And of course this is most graphically demonstrated in the pastime of his dealings with his very envious, very disturbed father. One wonders sometimes what kind of upbringing did did Hiranyakashipu have that he had such a terrible attitude? We know that he was cursed to be a demon, but nowadays when someone acts strangely, you wonder what was the upbringing? What was the problem in the childhood? What was the background? And with Prahlad, we also, his own friends, wondered, where did you get this knowledge from? And of course, we know he gets it from Narada. He comes into the world, the great Bhagavata that he is, the devotee of Bhagavan. I have written one article which, if Krishna allows, will be published in a book which we are compiling about the Bhagavatam, called Puranic Trekking on the Path of the Bhagavatas. It's an article which is intended to help people who have no idea what is the Bhagavatam to read the Bhagavatam. What is this Purana way of presenting history? And I focus in that article on this episode of Prahlad and Nrsingadev. And the main point I make is that the Bhagavatam is about Bhagavatas and how to become a Bhagavata. How to become a Bhagavata is to follow the Bhagavatas. And so I called the article Trekking, like you're trekking in the mountains, trekking on the path of the Bhagavatas, because that's what the Bhagavatam is all about. And of course, Prahlad is such a Bhagavata, one of the best of the Bhagavatas, and that's mentioned by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita. Prahladas chasmi daityanam. Of daityas, of demons, I am Prahlad. Krishna's listing all the best of everything. So the best of the demons, Prahlad will call his father, O best of the demons, somewhat ironically. But Krishna calls Prahlad the best of the demons. And indeed, we celebrate him not as a demon, but as best of devotees. His name, Prahlada, means what? What means Prahlad? Pleasure, not exactly, although pleasure is suggested by it, but joy, great joy. Hlada means joy. Hladini Shakti is the joy energy of the Lord. Happy energy. And pra gives strength, gives emphasis, so great joy. Prahlad is very happy. He's always happy. And why is he always happy? He has not a care in the world, literally. He doesn't care about this world. Except, he explains in his prayers to Nrsingadev, Naivod vijay paradoratya yavaitaranyas tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta shoche tato vimakacheta sa imriyarta maya sukhaya varam udvahato vimudha. He says, I don't have any cares except for one. It's quite a big care, actually. It's a care for all those, as Prabhupada translates, fools and rascals who are bound in this material world, vimukkacheta, who have turned away from the Lord and who are thus suffering. So the mood of profound concern for everyone who is forgetful of, ignoring, denying the Lord, that is his care. Otherwise, Prahlad is carefree. That carefree spirit of Prahlad's is, as a Bhagavata, most attractive to his fellow classmates. So I wanted to explore a little bit Prahlad's character and his, let's say, multiple identities. Prahlad is viewed by different people in different ways, and this is true of all of us, really. We think of ourselves in one way. We might be shocked to know what others think of us, isn't it? Ooh, don't tell me. and so I think it's useful to get a sense of the whole character of Prahlad by thinking about how he is viewed by others, beginning with Narada Muni, who has a very strong opinion about Prahlad even before he's born. As we know, the demigods want to kill this child in the womb, reasoning that the father is such a big demon, certainly the son or daughter, we don't know yet, but the child is going to be similarly a demon, like father, like son, or whatever. This is the reasoning. Narada appears at that moment and says, "Stop! Don't touch the mother. Don't touch that child. He is going to be a Mahabhagavata. He is going to be a great devotee." And indeed, he becomes Narada's shishya. And the circumstances of his instruction are a bit unusual. Imagine there you are in the womb of your mother. Hard to imagine because we've all forgotten what that's like. But it's pretty dark in there, and there's not much you can do there. Except listen. Presumably, if Narada Muni especially is speaking to your mother, you'll be inspired to listen because Narada speaks with very powerful words. And whether or not the mother remembers, in this case the child certainly remembers, Prahlad remembers, and this is something we want to imbibe from Prahlad. Even we are hearing no longer in the mother's womb, but we are hearing in other circumstances. We may pray to the Lord, we may pray to Nrsimha, we might pray to Narada Muni, we might pray to Prahlad, please, oh please, allow me to have such memory as Prahlad, that he, even in the most disturbing of circumstances, could always remember the Lord. Prahlad will be tortured. What are some of the ways that he is tortured by Hiranyakashipu and his minions? How does he gets thrown from a cliff? Yes. They throw boiling oil on him. He's put into boiling oil. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Dungeon with snakes. And these were not garden snakes, presumably. Yes, Mataji. Trampled by elephants. Yeah. Something else. Poison food. Wow. What else? Any other? Yes, we heard that. He was thrown from a cliff. Yes. Prahlad Nrsimha speaks. Huh? Throw him out by weapons? Oh, to stab him. Yes, there's that photo. There's that picture of it. Photo. In India, it's a photo. Everything is a photo. Yes, Kanchanmai. Yeah, his father later decides to try to kill him himself. Yeah. Well, that's, of course, the final, his big mistake. So, in all these trials, in all of these tribulations, what is Prahlad's response? His response is Hare Krishna. according to the Vishnu Purana, which also describes this incident, when he's being thrown over that cliff into the apparently into the sea, or rather onto the rocks next to the sea, on his way down, he is simply offering prayers to the Lord. And all of the prayers are there. There are several prayers, so it must have been quite a long leap. And one of those prayers is one that you're familiar with, perhaps. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. So try chanting that prayer as you are flying through the air with the greatest of ease. As we know, in that moment, Prahlad is caught by the Lord, who is situated below. Again, according to, I think it's the Vishnu Purana, he was caught by Varaha Deva, who catches, you know, with his nose, he catches. So in the original Singhachalam of India, on the east coast, there's a hill and there's a cliff, and there's a deity there of Varaha Nrsimha. And the understanding is that's the place where this happened. So you can go and see that deity of Varaha Nrsimha, combined Varaha Nrsimha. But when you see the deity, you will not see the deity, because the deity is completely covered with sandalwood paste. For 363 or 364 days of the year. And then one day they take off all the sandalwood paste. And then again you cannot see the deity. Why? Because there's 10 million people there who want to see. So, I don't know. That's what I've heard. It's very crowded on that day in this month of Vaishakha. Well, Prahlad is seen by Narada as Mahabhagavata, and indeed he manifests as such. He is seen by Hiranyakashipu as his son, who needs to be educated. And so he wants to check on his son's education. He wants to know, are you being properly educated? And so he asks him from time to time, so, son, what have you learned in school today, dear little boy of mine? There was a song like that. He actually asks him, what do you consider good? The word is sadhu. Which can mean good, or it can mean a person who is good. And it's kind of significant, ironically, that he asks that, because the response of Prahlad will be quite honest, quite direct, quite straightforward. My dear demon father, O best of the demons, I consider best sadhu tatsadamanyes asuravarya dehinam. I consider the best thing to do is to give up everything and go to the forest and chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada, I believe, says, go to Vrindavan in that translation. Prabhupada was probably feeling separation from Vrindavan as he was translating that. I think you should go to the... Well, he says, I think one should go to the forest. That's what I think. Manye, I think. You ask me what I think, that's what I think. Oh, well, you're thinking the wrong thing. And so you need more schooling, you need more correction. Go back to your classroom. Shanda, Amarka, be careful. This boy seems to be getting bad influence. Make sure he learns politics, diplomacy. Make him a good lawyer. Liar. Lawyer. Sorry. Anyway, make him a good demon. Make him just like me. Well, that's not going to work. Actually, what is Prahlad doing? He is becoming the teacher of Hiranyakashipu. But, alas, Hiranyakashipu is not a very good student, is he? He's thinking that, I was going to say, it's a little ironic also that Prahlad tells Hiranyakashipu, I think it's a good idea to go to the forest, and Hiranyakashipu doesn't like that at all. But I think it's interesting that Hiranyakashipu has already been at the forest. He was already out there, you know, standing on his tippy toes, hands in the air, getting eaten by termites, and the whole story. And now he's done all that. Now he's where he is. He's Hiranyakashipu, gold soft cushion, and it seems like he's forgotten, and he hasn't gotten any benefit, real benefit, spiritual benefit. Why? Because he had this silly desire to do what? To become eternal. And he thought he would be able to outwit death like a lawyer. It's like a business contract. He says to Brahma, you know, I want to be protected from, so that I cannot be killed by either inside or outside, or at day or at night, or by a human being or an animal or any living being, or all these conditions. He thought he had it wrapped up. He thought he had all the possible ways of being killed covered. He thought. And as we know, Nrsingadev thought otherwise. Not only did he thought otherwise, he acted otherwise. He's the teacher of Hiranyakashipu, of a very bad, and we should say troubled student. Students have to be able to listen, and this is something we can learn from Hiranyakashipu in a negative way. Hiranyakashipu is a negative example from whom we can all learn. Do not be a student like Hiranyakashipu, who, when given good advice, rejects it. Sometimes we might get good advice and we might not like it. And then we might become angry at the person giving us advice. Well, that was Hiranyakashipu's problem. And we want to be not like that. He's also a student of Shanda and Amarka. And in this context, Prahlad is an ideal student because he doesn't listen to them at all. But he's very patient. He doesn't disrupt the class. He is very respectful. He tolerates what they're saying. And then he's a little bit clever. As soon as they go out for a break, for a smoke break. When I was a kid, I don't know, nowadays maybe the teachers are more sattvic. I don't know. In the public schools. I grew up in public schools. And the teachers had their teacher room, you know? And now and then you'd walk by the teacher's room and someone would open the door for a moment. And it was always full of smoke because they were having their smoke break, you know? So we all knew that. Not a good example. Anyway, Shanda and Amarka are away. And then Prahlad would take this opportunity to himself become the teacher of the other students. He would say, "Hey guys, I have some really interesting news for you." "Yeah, what's that?" "You're all going to die in a few years." "Who cares? Let's go play." "No, you shouldn't do that. Now is the time for becoming Krishna conscious. Kamarama charit pragyo dharman bhagavatani ha. Durlabang manushang janma tat api adruvam artadam." This human form of life is very rare. It's a great opportunity. And now that we are kumaras, we are a small ku mara. Mara means death. Ku, bad. Or kumara actually means prince. Means it would be a great pity if someone of this age would die. That's a kumara. So we're all kumaras. Let's not die. Let's become eternal. And then his teaching method is really quite fascinating. If you look at logic of subtraction that he offers the students. He says, the first few years of life we're wasting by our playing. The next few years of our life we're wasting by being teenagers. The next few years, the next 10, 20 years, next 20 years we're wasting as householders trying to maintain our families, trying to satisfy them. They're never going to be satisfied. Then the next few years of our life we're wasting trying to be retired and trying to enjoy in that way. And the next few years of our lives we're wasting our time just trying to keep alive. We're spending all our time, you know, eating medicines and drinking and having our special diet and meditating 24 hours a day on what to eat and what not to eat. So in this way, the whole life is wasted. And what have we done? Nothing. It's all finished, wasted. So in this way, he teaches in a very clever way. Prahlad is also, we might say, and I mentioned this yesterday, actually, about rasa. In some sense, he is the son of Nrsingadev. And we were talking about Vatsalya rasa and how it's about protection. It's usually about how the devotee feels that I need to protect the Lord. But in this case, it's the other way around. The Lord is protecting the devotee. And as we have heard, the wish, the longing of the devotee is to be protected from material energy, from material nature, and to clear the space in the heart for Radha and Krishna to be present. Bhaktivinoda Thakur suggests this in one of his verses. I believe it's in the Navadvip Bhavataranga or whatever it's called. When he's describing the places in Navadvip, he goes around. And then in the place of Nrsingadev, Nrsingapali, he mentions like that. Why do we worship Lord Nrsingadev? Because he can remove all of the obstacles from the heart so that Radha and Krishna can take their place, so that Shishi Radha Gopinath can take their place in our hearts. Prahlad endured being thought of wrongly by his father. He endured it. And I would suggest he remained responsible in all his relationships. How did he do this? By being clear about his relationship to the Lord. So simply by himself understanding one relationship clearly, I am the eternal servant of the Lord, then it made all the other relationships clear. Hiranyakashipu even is benedicted by Prahlad at the end. After Nrsingadev appears in that wonderful way that he does, from a pillar, which is an unlikely place for God to appear from, let's admit, we would not have expected it, would we? He appeared from an unlikely place, and that's another lesson, that the Lord can appear from anywhere. So be ready. And after this silly attempt by Hiranyakashipu to fight with him, when Nrsingadev takes Hiranyakashipu on his lap, usually when you take someone on your lap, it's out of affection. You take a child on your lap. But this was not exactly in the same mood. Rather, it was a different mood. I just learned a new word yesterday. How did he treat Hiranyakashipu? He eviscerated him. Yes. That's evisceration. Taking the guts out of someone. That's evisceration. And because everyone else was in such shock, all the demigods, Kayadu must have been really amazed by all of this. I always wonder, when all these threats were happening to Prahlad, where was Kayadu? Usually the mother is in desperate effort to save her child, but we don't hear anything about Kayadu. Where was she? But in any case, Prahlad wasn't calling for her. You know, she's not going to be able to protect me. Only the Lord can protect me. So he is remembering the Lord. After all of this, and all the demigods are coming and they're shaking in fear of Nrsingadev, because Nrsingadev is still shaking in anger. And they don't know, in his anger, what he might do. He might lash out some more and, you know, wipe out a few demigods by a stroke of his paw. There's a picture, by the way, a painting of Nrsingadev as not half lion, but as half man, half lion, but as half man, half tiger. Some artist decided he's kind of like a tiger. After all of this, of course, Prahlad comes and pacifies the Lord with his wonderful prayers, and he makes a request to the Lord. The Lord wants to offer him benedictions. And what is it that he asks for? He asks that his father be reinstated as a devotee. His problem was he had kind of slipped out of Vaikuntha. He slipped on the banana peels of some unthoughtful words, and away he went for three lives. So Prahlad's mood through all of this remains fixed. Why? Because he is simply fixed on the Lord. And we understand that the principle of surrender, that there are these six aspects of Sharanagati: Anukulyasya Sankalpa, Pratikulyasya Varjanam, Rakshishyatiti Vishvasa, Bhoktritve Varanam Tata, Atmanikshepa Karpanye, Shatvidha Sharanagati. The middle one, Rakshishya Iti Vishvasa, having the Vishvasa, the faith, that Rakshishyati, the Lord will protect. That, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is the core of Sharanagati, of surrender. If we can cultivate that sense that the Lord will protect me. How he will protect, that's probably going to be in some way that we cannot anticipate. We can be surprised how the Lord will protect us. And we allow the Lord to surprise us. We don't expect him, you have to be like this or like this. So, Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Shri Nrsimhadeva ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. So, our next program is bhajan. Okay. Okay. Hare Krishna.